So there's no better place to be than the presence of our Lord. And I think the second better place to be is in the presence of the Lord with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know? And other than praise and worship, he's just speaking to me of a reconciling spirit. Reconciling the mothers and fathers back with the children back to the parents, and brothers and sisters of Christ back to one another. Division is the greatest thing the devil has. If you ever fought in a war, you played in soccer, anything, divide and conquer is how you wipe out your enemy. You two are friends, I'm assuming you come together, or maybe you work together, I'm not sure. But if I want to come after you guys, you guys mad at each other. You know, you're a powerful force right now. As Christians, as you praise the Lord and as you pray, one can cause 1,000 to flee, 2, 10,000. Well, I want to break down the energy you have, the power you have. I'll get you guys fighting back and forth. That way you won't come together in prayer. Amen? And I'll tell you what, that's the biggest trick the old devil's got. He will get you, I mean, it'll be something very, very, you got to watch out. Like, Fernando, why you looked at me that way? Amen? I mean, it can be that way. I mean, I used to, when I was first, was down here, I had a guy that come to the church, and I thought, man, he always like this. I've never done anything to this guy yet. Well, I'll find out later on. Well, yeah. Well, I did say yeah, didn't I? Oh, I'm not prophesizing, no, no. But that's how he concentrated. It was like that, you know. So if you ever want to get my attention, you're going to make sure it's like, hey, okay, don't look at me a certain way. But yeah, to reconcile, you know. It's understanding that no one in your regular family and no one in your church family are perfect. We have a desire to do well. But we're going to fall short from time to time. We have to understand that. And not take things so personal, you know. I always go back to the cross when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And we won't have that same heart. And your heart like that is growing the more you hear the Word of God and you worship Him. I mean, this is the Holy Spirit, man, that lives in us. And it strengthens it. You know, and it allows His Word to come back to us, you know. You might be offended by somebody and all of a sudden you hear, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. You know, I shared, I think, earlier this week, maybe somebody, that my sermon last week, one thing a guy kept stressing was, while you're yet sinners, Christ died for you. When we were offenses to Him, when we had no relationship with Him, He died for us. Wow. Well, Monday come around, and Mondays are a little slower day normally, and I'm at home, and I get this text from a fellow, say, hey, I'm going to come down to church for lunch today, and I need a ride, because I got a job. I can go work today. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I says, we're closed on Mondays. Okay. And it was like 2 minutes later, the Holy Spirit brought back to me, but you are yet sinner, Starkey. I died for you. Otherwise, he went out of the road for me. Hey, meet me down here at 1 o'clock and I'll take you where you need to go. So that's what the Holy Spirit inside of us does. Now I could still deny coming down, okay? And I won't say it would be a sin, but He just reminded me what Christ did for me. And can I drive 12 miles and come down here and take somebody up? Yes, for God's glory, you know? So when I preach the sermon, it's preaching me too. I realize that. I figured an amen back here from somebody. Oh, I won't ask you where you're going, honey. Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, man, it'd be a long supper tonight. But we're going to break bread here in a moment, as the Master told us to do. And I want to read a couple of scriptures with this. I'm going to read from Luke to start with. I'm going to be in chapter 22. And I'm going to be at verse 19. And you're very familiar with this for communion. We share this quite often. But this is the night before Jesus was going to be, the night He's going to be taken captivity, right before He's going to be crucified. He knew all the things that was coming His way. And he knew the disciples around him, the apostles sitting around the Last Supper. And I was watching one of the Christian shows on TV, and they talked about the Last Supper. You know, they said, I wonder how all the guys on one side of the table in order to paint that picture. Well, that picture was painted hundreds and hundreds of years later. Okay? And I thought, oh, well, that makes sense, because it probably wasn't a table at all. It was probably just maybe a stone to sit on or something, you know. But it's funny how you see things that are painted. I mean, that's how they were doing. But you ever think about why they're all on one side of the table? Well, it's the only way. Otherwise, we'd have half of their backs looking at us, you know. But yeah, it amazes me as we continue on the walk with the Master how much stuff comes back to us. Like, hey, why did you do this? How did that happen? You know. But anyway, back to what I was saying is he wanted to encourage the disciples. He wanted to encourage you and me both. Remind us of this awesomeness that we have. You know, they had decided to follow him. They gave up what they had and surrendered all to him. And so he's around the table to encourage him, because he knew in just a couple hours he's going to be arrested, he's going to be beaten, and these guys are going to be scared to death. You know? Like I said before, you want to take down a group of people, go after the biggest one first. And you get him defeated, and the rest of them are going to run from you. And it says here in verse 19 of Luke 22, it says, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, is a new covenant in my blood. So we got the body and the blood of Jesus, and it represents the Passover. If you remember in the Old Testament, when they get ready to leave Egypt, the night before they left, they took a lamb, an unblemished lamb, took it into the household. For 4 days, they watched it, and then they had to kill it, cook it, and consume it. And those who consumed it as they left Egypt, not one person was feeble, not one person was ill. Now, they died out in the desert because of disobedience. And the same way with us. Now, this bread and this juice isn't magical, okay? It does not turn into the body of Jesus. It doesn't turn into the blood of Jesus. It represents Jesus, amen? Do this in remembrance of me. And when we consume Christ, and Christ is what? The living Word of God. Understand that. The Word of God brings healing to our bodies. The spoken Word of God does so much for you. You know, to continue to learn to speak that Word out and study that Word. But he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And a couple of things you remember that he has shared with them. He says in Matthew 16, verse 24. Now, again, he's talking to the same one that's going to be around the table and talk to us today. Say, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I said. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, who will then repay every man according to his deeds. Wow. So the suffering that we might be going through right now, and the heartache and the pain for Christ, will be repaid for that. Understand? But the main thing is we have to deny ourselves to follow Jesus. Remember? That is to encourage us. The more we allow ourselves, the old man, as we call ourselves, die, let Christ live through. That's what Christianity is. That's what follower of Jesus is. So I want you to remember this. And sometimes we can look at that and see, well, okay, well, maybe that's where we might be falling a little bit short, that we're not dying to ourselves. We're living for ourselves. We're putting our priorities over top of the Lord's priority. And being led by this Holy Spirit. In fact, he says in John 15, verse 26. He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will also testify because you have been with me from the beginning." He says, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may keep from stumbling." God's word is given to us to keep us from falling into sin. Amen? I mean, the word is given to us to keep us from stumbling. The Holy Spirit is given to us to remind us how to keep from stumbling. All we have to do is get to the point that we don't want to stumble no more. Amen? I mean, just to follow Him. And He says that what they've done to Him, they're going to do to us. They're going to persecute you for being a follower of Jesus. You know? He considered us worthy enough to represent Him to be persecuted, being shunned by people. You know? That's what it is. But the thing again, He said this morning about reconciliation. I don't know why it's so heavy this morning, but it's reconciling with brothers and sisters in Christ and reconciling as you can with family members. Now, maybe you can't, maybe family members won't want to talk to you, but in your heart, you can give forgiveness and understand that we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And have that mindset that way when they do, and when that stronghold is broken from them, and that reconciliation comes together, you won't be there saying, "Well, I told you." You know what I'm saying? That your heart be softened enough to receive, "Oh, that's all right, man, come on in. Come on down." That's the whole thing. Because otherwise, when reconciliation starts, the old person won't be offended, right? "I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to tell you something." That's not where you're going to go, right? It's good to talk things out, reason with one another, share your hearts with one another. "Maybe you really offended me, you know, when you said that." You said, "How could a cop ever be a preacher?" But you know, I understand what you mean. You know, let's talk about this. And he never said that. So, you know what I'm saying? But to come together and not to be offended by it. Go to someone. If there's a break in communication, go to them and say, "Hey, let's talk about this. I'm not going to talk to you. But man, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't care. Well, let's call a pastor and he'll be the mediator. You know, I'll be the one to keep people separated." Kind of like the Indians game yesterday. Anybody see that? We had an Indians game, we had baseball, we had wrestling, we had big time boxing. I mean, it cleared the benches yesterday, man. A lot of reconciliation has to take place there, you know. But that's what He wants us to do, to come together. Because again, if He can separate us, if the evil one can separate us from coming together in truth and in spirit and worshiping the Lord and praying, He can cause us all type of destruction. And God's will won't be done. And Jesus knew that you were going to encounter this stuff. That's why He said, "I got to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to come. In fact, He's going to come and live in you." Christ, you're born again, Christ comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and gives you that superpower to understand the Scriptures, to speak out the Scriptures, to overcome temptation. You ever had any trouble with temptation, anybody? Hey, you got, all right, you got three honest people. No, yes, but the Holy Spirit will help you. You ever get tempted with something, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you do it anyway? Yeah, I know. But you do it less now, though, don't you? Because you know that you represent Jesus. Your actions, your voice, what comes out of your mouth, you're representing the Master. I mean, the greatest of all. And people are going to look at you. Know, Jesus isn't physically upon this earth today. He has His followers that He lives in. And so when they see me, they better everybody seeing Jesus, okay? What Jesus I'm going to show him, you know? And same with us. I mean, it's awesome. We might take that granted at times, but I'm telling you what. To be a decide to follow Christ, be born again, Christ lives in you, that's awesome. I mean, come on. I mean, maybe somebody might have been in school. Carol was in school. I forget what she was at one time, but she went to Texas representing somebody, FFA or, well, FHA, okay. FHA is Future Homemakers. Oh, man, I thought FFA. I married you. I thought you had cattle. Oh, okay. But they chose her to go to Texas to represent Future Homemakers Association or whatever that is, okay? Awesome thing to do. And here, God. God knocked on your door of your heart one day. And you knew that you should answer that door. And finally, you opened it up. And he came in and said, man, listen. I'm going to forgive you your sins. Your past is in the past. You come. Follow me. Wow. You're going to represent me here. Can you imagine if I sent you tomorrow? I sent you somewhere to a great big dinner to represent Shepherd's Christian Assembly? Man, that's quite an honor. Not because of the church, but because of who? Because of Jesus, David. Wow. That's awesome. And we need to remember that. And he's with us always. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us. He is there to strengthen us, you know. In the middle of your greatest battles, and some of the battles can be in your mind. You fight yourself more in your mind. You fight your divorce from the past, the things. Man, he's there. Just take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, speak to me. Sometimes your battle's in where you're working at. You got a great battle going on there. Good against evil, good against evil. Remember, Christ goes before us. Whatever we do it for the Lord. And if you got a job hauling manure, then you do it. You do it for the Lord, you know. You're working a job $4 an hour, and the other guy working beside you is making $30 an hour. Hey, while you're still there being working, you do what you're doing for the Lord. You do a perfect job. You do a great job for Him. Not saying you can't leave. Find another job. Not saying you can't go to the boss and say, hey, listen, yeah, I'm making $4 an hour, you know. Wow, Joe's making $20 an hour. How come the difference in that? Well, Stokey, you sleep half the time. Joe doesn't, you know. Now I can go to him and ask him. And then I can always decide whether I want to stay there or not. But why I'm there, I have no excuse. What I do it as for the Lord. I represent Him. That'll help you out. You know, sometimes you might have to bite your lower lip and stuff, but okay, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. But you do that for Him. And then, man, you're representing Him. And then people look back and say, man, look how bad they treated you, and you still love Jesus. Look what they did to you, man, and you still offer them a glass of water. Oh, wow. Look what the boss did to you, and you gave $2 for his Christmas present. You know, just things like that, like, wow. That would be in it, because that could tear down the strongholds that surrounds people and makes people. But today we are going to break bread. Remember of Jesus. Remember what He's done for us. Remember that He's coming back. Remember that we have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, man, is awesome. It continues to this day, guiding us. Amen? Amen. Just pray, then I'll have Langdon and Pablo, if you want to come out here in a second, and help serve communion. But let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for the love that You have for us. And God, we just thank You that we search You and seek You. God, You reveal more and more of Yourself. We thank You for the understanding You brought to us about this world and the condition it's in. We thank You, God, that You continue to show us our position in this world as we represent You to help others to come out of darkness into the light. And for us who walk in the light, to encourage one another, to hang in there with one another, to forgive one another, Father. But Christ, we thank You for going to the cross for us. We thank You that You died for our sins. We thank You that You reign today in heaven. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit. Our desire to do the same as You, Jesus. So strengthen us and guide us to do the same. Let's see the opportunity we have that we may say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And may all this bring You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 19. Just a couple of verses I want to share before we dismiss for the day. Again, speaking about the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, looking at the Holy Spirit now for several weeks. And we'll continue for a while. But this Spirit is what lives within inside of us when we're born again. I mean, I got a lot of things I could demonstrate probably, but I mean, I did before. I'd take my wallet and throw it at my son and say, there you go, everything you need is right there. If you never opened the wallet up, then he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know that there was money there. There might be a pass key for or a credit card. It could be anything in there. If he never opened it up, he carried it around and feel good about himself. Man, I feel good, man. You know, I know my dad, and he gave me this thing here. But we never took the time to open it up and study each thing. I mean, Premier AAA, guys. You know what that means, don't you? 400-mile tow if I break down. And that's what God has been doing here since Pentecost, is showing us what he has made deposited in us as a born-again Christian. You know, when we get born again, when we acknowledge Christ, see Christ come in my life, I surrender, be my Lord and my Savior, the Spirit of God comes in you. The same Spirit I believe he breathed into the garden of Adam. But then he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says in Acts, to be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The author. The Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus, lived in Christ. Christ can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Because he chose to be in body of function. He gave up his Godhead when he came on the earth. But what he did in the flesh and blood here on earth, we can do the same thing. We have to understand that. Too many times we back away because either one, we don't know what we can do, and number two, we don't think that, well, who am I to do something? But we got to look at the first disciples he had, followers. He had a tax collector. He had a doctor with them. He had a lawyer hanging around with them. He had common people like you and me. A willing spirit is what he's looking for. And so he has called upon us to do the same thing. Miracles should never have stopped. You know, and then miracles get so watered down. You know that, amen? Don't you think so anymore? People call miracles when God's word. Can you imagine if I told my son, Brian, hey, listen, if you need anything, you need money, let me know. Okay. And then he comes to me and says, hey, I need $20. And I give him $20. He goes to his friend, man, a miracle just happened. What? My dad gave me $20. Oh. I mean, would I be offended that you thought it was a miracle that I gave you money? When I already told you if you needed something, come to me? I would be offended by that. Amen? And sometimes we water things down because we don't understand. You know? He says that he'll provide for us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and he'll supply the things that we need. He's keeping up with his word. But boy, there are miracles out there that is beyond explanation. And that's truly what a miracle is. Changing your heart is a great miracle. If he has passed over from darkness into light, if the old man's dead and buried, man, that is the greatest miracle that you want to encounter. And that's for us. But everything else, man, is for his glory. It's for his glory. And his word tells us so many times, you know, as you give, it'll give back to you, pressed down, overflowing. Amen? So when you give and it comes back to you overflowing, now it can be given money, it can be given love, it can be anything, but it comes overflowing. Is that a miracle or is God just keeping up with his word? He's keeping up with his word. Amen? Amen. When you pray for someone's heart to be softened, and the heart is softened to receive the gospel. Now, is that a miracle that heart got softened? Or is that God's word? That's God's word. When does a miracle happen? When they announce Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Amen? Because the heart was changed. Yeah, just things that I look at there, but sometimes, again, it's just when it says speak, you know, in prayer, we'll be talking about prayer next week a lot, but prayer is so powerful. But most people don't understand prayer because they spend more time talking about the problem and then praying. Amen? You know, I listen to some radio stations sometime and they have a prayer request. And people call in and stuff. And the announcer will sit there and stand and so let's pray. Lord, we ask you, Lord, please, please touch this person. Please heal their body. Please, please. And I want to throw up. That's not how you pray. Because God gave you that power and authority. Did he not say, speak to this mountain? Did he not say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? We're blaming God for it. And you know, us, and we don't know. Some folks don't know. But it's us to speak. In the name of Yeshua, I bind the spirit of infirmity from this body to be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak healing. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's, you know, that's what we need to learn. Because, man, he wants us to be powerful in our prayers, right? When you pray, then you want something to take place. Right now, you want it to happen. And that goes along with your faith as it builds up and understand how praying is. Prayer isn't seeing how fast you can talk in 30 seconds. You know, and some people, it's like a shotgun blast, you know, not showing what to say. Prayer can be very simple. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay? And so that's so important. That's what we have with the Holy Spirit. And as you hear the scriptures, and you see how the Master healed, and look at the disciples. Remember Peter? Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. It's Jesus who was doing the healing. They didn't say, Jesus, please. Jesus, no. They already had that authority. So that's what we're stepping into to learn. You know, not beating anybody up, because we all, some of us come from different denominations, and some denominations didn't even believe in healing, and some didn't believe in prayer, and some people, some denominations spoke in Latin, if we didn't know what they're saying anyway. And God just trying to change that here. Amen? Amen. But in Acts 19, verse 11, it says, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So the handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out. Man, the writer here described, I believe it's Luke wrote Acts, if I'm not mistaken, extraordinary miracles. Not just a miracle. Extraordinary. That meant that miracles around the followers of Christ was just, it just, what happened? You know, awesome. You lay hands on someone, and boy, they're healed. That's awesome. But these are extraordinary. Man, we understand laying hands on people. But he was sending a piece of his apron here. He was a material worker, a tent maker. Extraordinary miracles. Wow. You know, I pray that as we continue that that will be common among the followers of Jesus once again. Because I tell you what, we need that ourselves, but the world needs it. There's so much falsehood out there anymore. This, I mean, say it right. AI, artificial intelligence. I mean, look at it. I mean, if you guys follow that, anybody follow that stuff? I mean, it's amazing. Getting human-like robots now, and robots are getting smarter than people are. Is there something? I mean, I always remember that horror movie I saw at one time. Years ago, it's where the machines took over. Anybody remember that one? Electric knives and stuff chasing people around. I mean, I don't like the movie, but we're getting close to that, you know? but that's where the, I mean, that is going to make the difference to people, man. I mean, isn't what Jesus did? Isn't what God did? Now, he didn't perform miracles to prove that he was Jesus. He did it because what? He was Jesus. He was anointed by God. Amen. Anointed through the Holy Spirit to do that. And that's very important when we ask someone to pray for us. Are they anointed? Are they anointed with the Holy Spirit? Man, are they walking with the Master? You know? I feel sorry sometimes for folks because they ask people to pray for them. And it's awesome they come together, but they're not anointed. They're not followers of Christ. They're really nice people. But man, that leave the expectation of being whatever they prayed for. And there's nothing there because they have not been anointed, they're not a follower of Christ, and not anointed with the Holy Spirit. Very important to have that Holy Spirit. Again, think about this coming end of this month, to be baptized. I may even be expecting that Holy Spirit to come upon me. I went crazy when I came out of the water. When I get baptized, not crazy. Caught on fire for the Lord like never before. And I was already born again for 2.5 years. But consider that. Do you want that power? Do you want the understanding of scriptures to represent them? I mean, oh, it's an awesome thing. It truly is. Romans 2:11 tells you that there is no partiality with God. Another translation says that God is not a respecter of persons. So, man, don't matter where you're coming from. Born again, all this is available to us. We needed it. And I know sometimes we don't understand or, I've got enough. I got enough to the Lord. I don't need this Holy Spirit thing, but I'm telling you what, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to be strengthened, man. I'd be like joining the military and they offer you machine guns and now I'll take a slingshot. Well, you might do some damage with a slingshot, but I want the machine gun, amen? That's what he offers us to the Holy Spirit, to seek him, to seek the Lord and all that he has for you, all for his glory. In 1 Samuel 2:30, he says, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed." Now, I love this. "I indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor." So, may I want this thing? Okay, honor God. Honor God in your life. You know, I always say that I worked at GE for a while. Made good money down there. I knew a lot of people that wanted the money I made at GE. Amen? But they didn't want to work for it. I mean, come on down, GE. They just hired 900 of us down there. Anybody worked at GE? Yeah. Yeah, you remember them days. 900 in the summertime with college kids and stuff. I'm telling you what. All kind of money. I had friends that wanted to help me spend my money, but they did not want to work for it. All my lands. Mm. And then I told a story once before. I had this kid walk out, a college kid walk out of GE with a pair of gloves, a package of gloves. Yeah, and they caught him. The foreman did. Said, "Take him back and go out the other door and go home." He didn't fire him. He went out the other door with the gloves. He got fired stealing gloves from a great paying job. Why would he do that? I don't think he wanted to work too much, huh? I'm not sure. We want to do the same. If your heart desire to be all you can be for the Lord, let him work through. Now, I'm not saying he's going to send you to Israel tomorrow. I'm not saying you can be preaching behind the pulpit. But do whatever he has planned for you from the very beginning. Is honor God. Honor him in your relationships. Honor him with your money. I'm not talking about giving money. I mean, he already talked about the tithe. But what you spend your money on. Amen? Your vocabulary. Your decisions. It's a way of life. Oh, God didn't want me to do that. You know, do that. Man, again, he's not a respecter of persons. He'll do the same with us if we allow him. In Acts 10:34, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." So every nation, but every man. So individually now, our nation, we have to get back to where God is the ruler of the United States of America. I do believe we'll have a window. Maybe a couple years when that's going to take place. But he is coming. He's coming very soon. But for you, like Joshua says, for you and your house, what have you decided? You and your house. This is your house right here. Have you decided to follow Jesus? To honor him? For me and my house, we shall serve the Lord? Or have we decided, hey, I'm going to look good on Sunday, but I'm going to do my own thing? You can do whatever you want to do. I'm not here to ever tell you what to do. I'm just telling repercussions of what we do. Draw closer to God, he'll draw closer to you. Honor God in all you say and do, he'll honor you. Your request is, God, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be used by you. I want my prayer to be so powerful. And draw closer to him. Honor him all that you do. As we honor God in all we do, we allow God to guide us to where he wants us to go. The Holy Spirit will guide us if we will listen. In Psalms 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." He will guide you. He will teach you if you listen to him. Amen. Being powerful in prayer is something else. And folks, sometimes it takes a minute or two before you pray. I shared before, I had a lady years ago came in, had her son living in his car. And just rebellious, having the issues and stuff. And she wanted me to pray with her that he would get a job and get out of the car. Which sounds like a reasonable prayer, right? Amen. Concern for your children. Before I prayed, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, No. You pray first so he finds the master. So I prayed. I said, you know, I'm going to pray with you if you'll be in agreement with me. So I prayed that, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, I just pray that these chains around this man right now, this spirit of addiction that's got him, they be broken, their heart be softened, Father. To send someone across his path that would minister to him in such a way that he would come out of the darkness into the light, God. Then I know your word is true. You'll raise that man up, you'll supply his needs, the glory of Christ. And that's how we agreed on it. She left, come in, time frame I'm not sure, but a month or so later, and said, man, listen, my son gave his life to Jesus. So awesome, awesome. He's got a job, he's working now. Came back in a couple months later on and said, man, he got hurt. Almost broke his back at work. I said, okay, well, same God's got his hands upon him. So we prayed, 6 months later or so she came in, about a year altogether. Here he started his own business. Got his own job honoring God. So he just led me to pray that way, you know. You come in the day and say, man, listen, I lost my job. Will you pray with me that I'll get another job that will honor God? And I said, well, man, do you know the master? Yeah, I've been following the Lord. We'll pray. Stand on his word together. The two of us come together. So prayer is so powerful. All goes back to having a right standing with God and honoring God. And again, it says, don't let someone lay hands on you too quickly because you want to understand where they're coming from. Amen? Because when I pray with you, or the elder of the church pray with you, we're going to stand on that word, and you're going to leave here with confidence that the word of God's been spoken and agreed upon. And then don't walk out saying, well, I hope that works. We have confidence that it will work. Amen? Amen. Okay. I'll stop there for the day. But again, just having the confidence in the word of God. And following him and knowing, man. And if you're here and Jesus isn't your Savior, if you're not a follower of Christ, but you're a good person, you like hanging out with Jesus, and you love the hot dogs I cook here and stuff like that, that's awesome. But consider that very soon, he's coming back, you know. I don't like to preach, hey, man, give your life to Christ, or you're going to go to hell. We're already headed to hell without Jesus, okay? But there's more to it than just escaping hell. It's life today. As Christians, we are to bring heaven onto earth. Amen? And that's an awesome thing. I mean, and all the stuff going on out in the world right now, heaven can still be brought down here. We live in the heavenly realm now. Our spirit is. Our bodies are still here. Why are we still here? Because of the other people out there just like you were before you got saved. And like me before I got saved. A lot of good people out there, they don't recognize the need for Jesus. And we'll just be led by the Holy Spirit. Let them guide us to share the gospel in such a way that will make a difference. You know, some people sow, some water, and some reap. And I don't think I shared it last Sunday, but our 8-year-old granddaughter, I shared that Bible study, didn't I, Carol? Our 8-year-old granddaughter last week gave her life to Jesus. And amazing, I got a text from Chad, or Ryan, Vincent, you're the right one. And she'd been going to, you know, Sunday school and, I mean, and church and stuff, but she'd been listening to the, you know, her dad and mom and the Sunday school teacher and people around them and stuff. And she came to my son and said, listen, I never asked Jesus to forgive me. Will you pray with me? And led her in prayer, and she got born again. At 8 years old, she reached the age of accountability. She knew then. And anyway, 8 to 12, 14, age of accountability, but once a person knows that, but man, they need a Savior, that's the age of accountability. And the Bible tells us to raise a child in the way they should go. And so they've been raised in that way. Just never know when it'll take root. So if you've been praying for someone, you raise a child, maybe you weren't born again like I was when my kids were raised up. But you do have something very powerful today, and that's called your prayer life and the Word of God. And he talks about our children, backslidden children, and he talks about dry creeks and how the water can flow again. I got scriptures on backslidden children, you name it. find your scriptures and stand on that, and that's how you pray out. You know, man. I come from the Catholic background, and I was given a scripture years ago. Some guy told me where my background was. I never met the guy before. He said, "You've been praying for a person." I said, "Yep." He said, "This is scripture you need to hear." They already heard the gospel. Pray like Jesus did. And what did he do? He opened their minds of understanding. So all the scriptures they heard during their kids' years growing up, they finally, their mind was open. And to this day, man, I tell you, confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. So, yeah, just don't give up the main thing. Amen? Amen. Amen.